The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. The gang's here for Ladies' Night. It's 40K Thursdays.
Hello, welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to the 40K Adjacent Show, the fourth most regular show now on The Honest Wargamer. And I'm joined by Val Heffelfinger from the 40K Stat Center.
We're more adjacent than we are Stat Center at this point. I think there are officially now more Adjacent Show episodes than Stat Center episodes.
Wow. Okay. I mean, you've really...
Was that true? Where do we get to, Pete? 35, 36, somewhere in there?
I don't know. Somewhere.
Yeah, it's like neck and neck at this point.
Okay.
This has been way easier, by the way. Like, wow. The amount of effort.
Is next week our Christmas special? I actually haven't had the opportunity to look at the calendar yet. What day is Christmas?
The 25th, Rob, every year.
Yeah. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, Rob.
Let me count the ways I hate thee.
Do you think Father Christmas will come?
Okay, no, it's not. There's another.
Yes, it'll be the 22nd. We'll have the 15th and the 22nd.
Our Christmas special, which will be the 40th Christmas special. Pete, we're also joined by Pete the Falcon.
Yep, you are.
There he is. Hello, sir. How are you?
There I am. Hey, I'm good. Hey, you.
Hi, guys. How are you both? Pete, are you well? I've heard some positive news from you.
Yeah, I don't have the Rona. I don't have the Rona as of like 10 p.m. last night. I knew. Mm-hmm. I was pretty sure I didn't. We had results from basically everybody else in my family that were negative, so it would have been super weird if I was the only one, given we all have the same symptoms. But it's good to finally get them. So.
Good. I'm glad they're all well and safe. That's good. How is the like general spread around there?
Of the Rona?
Yeah.
Well, we just hit enhanced mass or whatever they call it in my province. So now it's masks are mandatory everywhere. Some other stuff, which is cool. The people here are very much against it, which is hilarious. They're pleading for their amendment rights without realizing, you know, we are in Canada. They're a little different. It's a whole thing, but, you know, living our dream.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're safe and the family's safe. That's really important to me. And that's good. Val, you safe? What's it like in the big city, in the smoke?
Rapidly accelerating infections all over the place. So, you know, it's great. It's great. We're supposed to be on old school lockdown, I'm pretty sure. Like, you're not supposed to like fraternize with people outside of your household. Don't go out if you don't have to type rules. But as far as I can tell, people are not heeding that too much.
Well, I mean, Nottingham Council, so obviously based in Nottingham, had organized a Christmas market. So an outdoor Christmas market with social distancing, which looked like Sodom and Gomorrah when I walked past it, if I'm honest with you. It was wall-to-wall human beings. It was open for one whole human day. And then the council were like, this is cancelled this year.
A mistake.
Yeah, this is cancelled this year.
Lots of pillars of salt around here now for some reason. Didn't expect it.
It was outrageous. Yeah. There was thousands of people in what we call the Market Square, which is our kind of like central kind of area. They've got it all. They've got the Ferris wheel, Christmas rides, shops, like little wooden huts, so it's all Christmassy. One day cancelled. They've cancelled Christmas, so that's pretty tough.
Who could have saw that coming? Like, who would have thought that wouldn't work at all? Were people just like getting into fist fights over like comically large turkey drumsticks? And I don't know. What kind of weird, like, give me an example of a weird English Christmas thing. Like,
we always have German markets. What else do? We have the Helter Skelter fudge. Do you guys have the fudge stall?
F- fudge snow. It's a bit different up in Alberta, but down here, we do love fudge dolls.
Okay, so we have. There's always a fudge stall. There was a vegan market. I mean, I couldn't get in because it was like the queue was.
Like this is just
feet.
Stuff. This is like you're just saying stuff right now.
Yeah,
like
there's no English. There's
no queue. There's no English traditions.
We just told everybody else's, and then that was it.
Yeah,
market, the Christmas market thing, has also gotten super popular over here. I feel like. Quietly in the last 10 years, it's become like the thing. There's always like big Christmas markets. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe someone from Canada finally went to Germany.
Maybe.
One of the traditions we do have, though, Nottingham City Council have like a big kind of like a council house, I guess. And there's a kind of like raised pavilion at the top. They often, a couple of the richer folk will just throw coal at the poorer kids running around at the bottom.
Okay.
But I think that's more like, I think that was like, at one point was a nice thing, you know, like take coal home.
Do they wear masks?
A small fire. The kids or the rich people?
The nobles. Do they wear masks at these weird parties with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman? I'm just wondering where this is going.
Well, they're eating pizza and they're opening gates. I think is what they're mainly doing.
I have a question. Like, don't you think like the whole like coal in your stocking thing is a bit like a bit classist? Like, I'm pretty sure Tiny Tim would have been like, "Oh, geez, thanks." You know, like, "Oh, we're not going to be cold this year." Like, would have been fine with it.
My real question is, how long does one piece of coal really burn for? Truthfully, that it's enough of a present. But who knows? Talking about presents, and not presents, but mainly COVID. Sad news in the 40K community. I managed to drag us to it. In the LVO has been cancelled for the year.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Followed quickly by Adepticon.
Hey, Adepticon was cancelled first, shockingly.
Oh, actually, that's interesting.
I believe.
Okay.
So, like, what happened? Did, like, Reese and Frankie make some sexist comments? Like...
some old tweets emerged.
Yeah, some old tweets emerged. Yep.
Actually, no one look into that. Okay, just don't look into it.
I mean, no, you're not gonna find anything. Reese has never had a Twitter account, for sure. He's 100 years old, and and so he uses the FLG one. And Rob and I both have our opinions on that.
My favorite thing of this year is you joined Pete Twitter just so that we could both experience the FLG Twitter posting out 80s memes relatable to about 4.5 people. I don't know if anyone's had a word because they've kept it more on track recently.
I don't know.
Maybe
I believe they have a social media manager now, so maybe they were just like, stop it.
Do they have a social media manager?
I can't believe it.
I bet they do now. Reese's rolling in it. They're getting health care now for their employees.
Yeah, I'm talking like what a humble break that was.
We're trying healthcare. To make sure our employees don't die. Is the social media manager called Piblo?
It's Piblo.
Piblo.
He's my favorite DJ.
Piblo Beats. Sad news about the RVO. Sad news.
Well, I mean, it's much like the closure of your precious Christmas market was kind of seen to be coming.
Oh yeah, like incredible that it was even in talks within the past 6 months, let alone in the past week. But good decision by the guys, ultimately, and you know. But then, great news in the past week. I think we talked about it last week, but it looks like vaccine is on the cards. So as much as that's like Adepticon out the window and LVO, there's still, like, moving into the summer, there's still opportunity for both Nova and the WTC to occur, depending on travel and everything else. So, I mean, the WTC occurring is something I'm very, very invested in for 40K, because obviously we'll be going and doing the coverage. But, like, ultimately, I also think it's, like, a really fun big ticket. They didn't get to do it for the first time properly under their own flag last year. So I think that'll be a nice one to kick off the year, maybe.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that's one of the earliest we can attend. So
it was pretty awesome when our prime minister, like 2 weeks ago, we were like, "All right, PM, how's the Canadian vaccine supply looking?" And like he was like a child who had been busted not having done his homework. We had nothing lined up as a country, And then yesterday we saw that he's cut a deal with Pfizer to get some
We knew that they had a bunch of deals made. Like, that's been all over the news. He just didn't know when we were getting them. That was the problem with that, like, interview. They were so when are we getting it? And he was like, we probably are last. And we were like, but we spent all this money to get them. He's like, yeah. But, I mean, they're being made in Germany and the U.S., so they'll get them first. But they just announced that we're getting our first doses next week, and we haven't even approved it yet. So
that's moving fast.
And they expect... one-tenth of the country to be vaccinated by March. So not super fast, but hopefully it'll speed up after that.
Go ahead.
No, after you.
Well, just reading the way that it's actually the way that they've done this is actually pretty fascinating. So the production of even unapproved vaccines at this point has already started. They just started producing them in the assumption, because that's what a lot of the public money has done, is allowed them to produce them in the event that it is approved. So we actually are like way ahead of where we would be otherwise, like as a society, as far as doses are concerned, and that production ramps up really, 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 really fast over the next few months. So although we might only have 10% by March, that number could be very, very much higher by like even June.
Mm. Okay. Well, cool. I mean, that's really, really exciting. I do have a question, actually, for the Twitch chat, who I haven't said hello to this morning. Gentlemen,
who?
Ladies, welcome to the show.
I saw James Carmona in the chat, for the record.
I don't know.
James Carmona? He's an angry man. Ooh, he scares me. He's so angry. James, go have a burrito. Just relax.
Is he the kind of the... I don't know what... I think I've seen that James fella. I like him. I think he ragged on us one time online.
He's
really
probably
enjoyed
did.
It. Yeah,
he's really a popular cat.
It. Yeah, yeah. But big fan
good
of that.
Dude.
What was I going to say? Yes. So, gentle folk of the Honest Wargamer Christmas crew, with tournaments potentially occurring again, and with the eye to the Rona being defeated, if it is defeated, whatever, tournament crud is genuinely a thing. Have you got any thoughts about, mandated and or suggested mask usage at tournaments? You got any thoughts on that? Like, one of the things that really interested me, actually, someone suggested it was like, I'll never not go nakey face again. Imagine what we were living in the 2019, such brave, like, motherfuckers just walking around without a mask on. And now, you know, I thought about it. I was like, actually, that kind of makes sense. You go into a big populated area or, like, you know, would you wear a mask? And I was like, that's kind of, do you know what I mean?
If you're sick, yeah, go fucking definitely wear a mask. That's, I think, one of the things that gave Asian cultures a bit of a leg up on us, is that's a pretty normal thing. If you're sick, you wear a mask so that you don't get other people sick.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I think like it was one of those things that just generally interested me. Or like, if you're coming to an event, if you're sick, please don't come. You know, but that's a general consensus. I don't know. I just thought it'd be an interesting thing to bring up, but obviously not long answers on that. So
nope.
No,
just
I think,
do it or don't do it, but you know, don't just do it.
Yeah, Concrete's a thing, which is why I remember when this all first started happening, we were talking about that, I think, fairly frequently, which is just like Warhammer tournaments are a significant factor. People always get sick at conventions. These things need to stop because clearly people are going to get super sick. I've actually been impressed that we haven't heard of any of these events being super spreader events at this point. I wonder if we did a little digging if we'd find out if that's true. It's kind of interesting that there hasn't been anything noted about this.
No, I don't think so.
Who's the one?
What?
Who's our guest? We haven't even introduced our
special guest. That's Sad Dan. I didn't get a chance to change the picture because I was rushing, so I'm really sorry about that. It's only sad news this week, and I'm really sorry to be the bearer of. Actually, I've got two pieces of news. I've got good news and bad news. Which would you like first?
Always the good news. Okay. I like to end on a downer.
Okay. Let's put this fella in there. I think I broke. There we go. Right. So yesterday on
the one. Yeah.
Yes. Josh Diffy is the one.
Yesterday, I don't know if you guys are interested in this. Val, this is meant to be up your street. Pete, you might be generally interested as well. There's a thing called Earth 2. Earth 2 is a VR AR landscape. So imagine all of the planet. You know what? So artificial reality or virtual reality. So if you wear a headset and or hold your phone up to an AR environment, there's the idea that you could like see overlaid on, let's say, Big Ben, an advert or, you know, a poster or anything like that. Does that make sense?
We all get AR helmets so that we can see advertisements on Big Ben.
I like it. I'm imagining the only improvement.
Thank you. Or like, say you Google Maps and there's like an arrow, like go down this street and you kind of use it and you follow it down. Okay, that makes more sense. There are vowels inside. Yeah.
I'm in the Matrix, guys.
So vowels in there now, into Earth 2. Now,
Big Macs are 89 cents when you buy a combo in the UK right now.
kind of like the Emerald Dream World in World of Warcraft, yes, or like Ready Player One sort of thing, you know, like an overlay to the Earth. Mm-hmm. So Earth 2 yesterday went live in the past few days, and people have been buying up like valuable land because you can own parts of it. And then when you own it, you can rent it out or sell it or whatever you want to do. So there's been a big land grab in Earth 2. It's been super cool.
What are the Second Life real estate developers doing about this? Are they cool?
They're
with
out,
it?
I think.
They're out? They're just not even in. Okay.
I don't think they're in. Like, for instance, someone's bought like Nintendo HQ and they're reselling it for like $10,000 as an example.
Okay.
So as you're part of the Honest Wargamer crew, Pete and Val.
We are.
You'll be pleased to know that the Honest Wargamer now owns Games Workshop HQ on Earth 2.
Is that real? Please be
real.
That's real. Incredible. What did it cost? What did it cost?
£35.
How many?
£35.
It's like 70 Canadian dollars.
It's like 70 bucks, yeah.
It is. But, and also show host, Speckles, who isn't on the show all the time, he also, hello lads, I own the Games Workshop car park. He's in the chat. Yeah, he also bought the car park, which, it was Scott B's suggestion. It's good. So if this turns into a Bitcoin style, like, big thing, Val, you might be interested. Like, we could potentially, like, rent space out there to advertise events. All manner of goodness.
Incredible.
I
feel like this is like a They Live scenario more than anything. Like, we're just going to see aliens now.
So I just
see what people really look like.
I just looked up Earth 2, and I'm getting a TV series.
Yeah, it was
a DC Universe
popular comic book set thing. Earth 2.
Earth 2 IO?
It could be.
Yes, that. Metaverse. Here we are.
There you go.
Now, I don't know if I would highly recommend people go there to this website, earth2.io, because their logo, which is, I think, two Earths meant to look like an infinity symbol, just looks like two balls in a nutsack.
I love the idea of going to Warhammer World and just being like, actually, my company owns this.
Do it.
What the hell?
No one there would recognize you. They don't know who you are.
No, exactly. Will Games Workshop retaliated by the T-Sports Arena? There's an option there for that to occur. But I thought you guys would be interested in our new Land Baron-esque title.
It's
fabulous.
Yeah. Are you a lord now? I hear that if you buy land in Scotland, you're a lord. So,
A lad.
Laird.
From what I understand, industrial wasteland real estate in Nottingham is worth a lot of money. So I'm sure that was that's going to pay off dividends in the future.
Yeah, think about it. Will people visit all the time if it becomes a thing where you can advertise on? But anyway, if not, it's hilarious and something which is fun. But absolutely. The sad news now is the capitulation of Games Workshop in. Not releasing the Death Guard book because it's difficult for them to justify in the current climate of plague and disease being rampant in the world. I think that's the reason they put out as to why they're not released it, right?
No, I think it was. I thought they just gave a vague shipping excuse.
Oh,
really? You think it's Nurgle related? You think they're like, that's a bit on the nose. Maybe we shouldn't do this thing that we've been talking about for a whole long time.
No, I don't think that's at all. But it's like I'd like it to be the reason now that I suggest.
Oh, they're gonna cancel us.
Wait, they want to. They don't want to get cancelled themselves. It's okay. They're only cancelled on Earth One, Earth Two, rabbits. Earth Two.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Although the copies are very bad. On Earth Two.
Yeah, they're all out of book. Great.
Haven't seen much of it. Haven't seen much of it. I saw a bit of a kerfuffle around old Morty when he came out or was leaked.
Yeah, Pete, you got any thoughts on the new Morty?
I mean, he looks good. He looks good. The no toughness aura is kind of disappointing as always, but I mean, the rest is basically flat buffs the dude's got. I think he's a monster. I'm super into it. So they said his points haven't changed either. So all these upgrades, a free warlord trait, like I'm in like Flynn. Let's do it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Toughness 8. I'm really into that.
Toughness 8.
Toughness. Yeah, demon engines hitting on threes, plague marines with like rend one on plague knives.
There is someone at GW that had an aneurysm when they forced them to make him toughness 8. You know, like they were like, but 7 is his number. He has to stay 7.
Oh shit, of course. Yeah. Of course.
And they were like, just let it happen, man. He's no. This is not how it works. Numbers are important.
Have you seen The American Office?
Yes.
You know the scene or the episode where they're trying to work out whether or not Hillary Swank is hot? I feel like it was that. The office was just divided into two camps. The question is he tough? Not, should he be 7? Like, that's the question.
I only like deep, deep existential sadness in my comedy, so I've only ever watched The British Office. Just crushing. I don't know if anyone remembers that show.
It's got some happiness in it, The American Office, which is nice.
That's the primary difference.
But as you grow up, you really realize that like Pam was way over the top, and Jim was just super good. Super good guy. Like, really good dude.
Just a good person. Jim. Mm-hmm. Just did what he just did his best. And Michael, in the end, he turned it around.
He did. He did turn it around because he was an asshole, wasn't he?
He was an idiot.
Yeah. I've actually just
a nice idiot at the end, which is nice.
I've actually watched more like shows about The American Office, like YouTube things, than I have of The American Office. But one thing was that he came out like Americans don't understand this thing we call irony, and so like that character was like far too mean off the top, and he was like testing really poorly, and the show did like awful. And then the second season, apparently, they like really soften all of his edges. And to make him more of a like paternalistic, well-meaning, dope kind of guy, and the show took off like a rocket.
Well, this is where I again suggest you both watch Peep Show. And as Nick has said in the chat, if you do like that dark existentialism, Peep Show is for you. And I've suggested it before, but that's fine.
Yeah, one more. Hey, I watched Dairy Girls. I love that.
Yeah. That's some big powers. Right, so any thoughts on the supply chain issues from the Death Guard stuff? Like, think it's emblematic? Oh, for God's sake. Do you feel like it points to any, like, other major issues coming out? Because they also dropped on the same day it was last day for ordering. Like, they were like, this is last day for Christmas orders. Good luck. Like, they just dropped it on one day, which is now gone. So, have you guys got any thoughts on that, Pete?
It sucks, man. Like, I get it. There's something going on. There's been lockdowns and all sorts of shit. It's odd for a gigantic company to not be able to have backups on backups, but it is what it is. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, they were having... Like, we've talked about this before. I mean, they were having a tough time keeping up with demand in good times. And now, I assume capacity has got to be reduced somewhat by like social distancing measures and whatever. And then on top of that, because of the fact that they've been catching up, like how much capacity did they lose to catching up Indomitus? Right. It feels like everything post Indomitus, like basically post where they would have been like cranking out extra Indomitus sets to like make up for that made to order. That has been sort of low on stock. So it looks like they moved capacity to that to fix a problem from 4 months ago. And now we have less stuff now. But I think it's just like they're more popular than they can make toys for. I think even if everything was good, they've just their success has rapidly outpaced their capacity, which is, you know, it's a dangerous place to be for a company.
Do you think it's the launch of Ninth? Do you think that Ninth is just like, obviously we haven't seen the sales numbers yet. We'll get them towards like the 6 month. So like towards like January, Feb, we'll see them. But do you think that they have exploded like in popularity and like money? Like, I mean, and it kind of makes sense, like this point that they have, like they've outstripped, not to like a little bit, like 10%, 20%, like outstripped way beyond their ability to handle. Because, you know, you have massive YouTubers of like loads of different varieties, you know, either playing and or just talking or painting about their miniatures. Mm-hmm. And I think the past 6 months I've seen some like very big eyes and some big numbers from different communities that like haven't been in, let's say, 40K, but also in ACMR, like any of them. They just haven't been in there. Now there's just like all sorts of noobs just like, all right, I'm going to get some play prints. Like, and they're just fucked. Like, just, like, absolutely walloped. Well, that's what it seems like to me. I don't know what you guys think, Pete, Val.
That's been the case for years. Like, all the way through the 8th edition launch, like, every book that they dropped was immediately, out of stock. Every single one, all the way through. And that happened every time a good Psychic Awakening book came out. Like, it's always hilarious on the internet where you see people, like, speculating, like, oh, they're only putting that in the box set because they have too many in the warehouse. It's like, they got nothing in the warehouse. Old Mother Hubbard is running the warehouse right now. The cupboards are bare. Milk's gone dry. So, like, they're just victims of their own success. This is, like, a common challenge that companies run into that get, in this case, not exactly sudden overnight success. This has been something they've been sort of working through for years since they started getting popular. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on their side of the coin. I don't know how many ships they got going. I don't know. There was a factory they were building. They ever get the factory built?
Yeah, two sites. Like that. Like they.
There's a warehouse and a factory.
Yeah, warehouse, factory bought, built, and done. New building bought, built, and done. A new factory moved into and done. So like output increase, and maybe that's where the hold is in the everything that transfer over. I don't know. Like, I guess really the only reason it really comes up to us as gamers is like I'm sat here with like a plethora of mephitic blight haulers. There's mine. and I'm painting them up and I'm enjoying myself loads. And I was very, very excited about the Death Guard book. And now like someone's asked in the chat, you know, is that going to affect the Drakari book? You know, like how does it affect the kind of general game state? And, you know, does that mean we'll get like three books in a month? You know, it's just like bam, 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 or does it be slowed down? And it's, you know, it's a concern, but it's also over Christmas as well, where traditionally there wouldn't be a lot of games. There also wouldn't be a lot of events. And then I guess really, especially for North America, but generally for the world, a lot of eyes would be like thinking about LVO. How do you feel that like the competitive scene and generally the environment kind of like, because it's lost its tempo? I always equivocated this to Nights Out, if I'm allowed to just go on a long one quick. A city has a theme whenever you go to a city. So like in Nottingham, traditionally, all the students always went out on a Thursday. That's the tradition. Yeah. And mm-hmm. It didn't matter which was the Thursday night out, because some would like rise and fall. Some would become popular, a new one would start up and it would become the new popular one. But it didn't matter if you tried to open one on a Wednesday or a Friday. No dice. Like, it just wasn't happening. Right. It wasn't the situation. Whereas, like, if you, like, equivocate, and if you go to a different city, like, if you went to Leeds, it was a Wednesday. Like, so what was really interesting about that is two major events really happen around the world in, well, end of January, February time, in CanCon and LVO, and they would always, like, double up with each other. Like, do you think that there's going to be, like, a reset on the tempo? Do you think you'll see dates change? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Or is that just a really broad question?
I defer to Pete.
I think we're good for a little bit. I don't think the tempo is going to change too much. I think we did lose a little bit of steam. I think if there hadn't been COVID and all this stuff, we'd be like just swimming in events and it'd be just a shit show trying to keep up. But I don't think it's that big yet. People are striving to get events, in like the worst pandemic conditions right now. Yeah. So I think we're fine for now. I think there's going to come a point in 6 months or so, where if it's still happening this way, it'll start to be a bigger deal. CanCon's still happening. It's not happening in Canberra. It's happening in Adelaide. So we will have at least one more big event of the season to look forward to, because Australia has their stuff kind of in line right now. So they've got they've got Australian Nationals, and then they've got another super major like right after, or major. So we've got two events there, and people are really looking forward and gunning. And I don't know. I don't think it's there yet. I think we lost a small amount, but it's not noticeable given where we were. If things had been going full tilt since ninth launch, we'd be having like 15, 20 events a week easy. I'd say I'd be up to my eyeballs in friggin' stats. I'd be dying,
but also loving it.
To a small degree, yeah.
To a small degree.
my Protestant work ethic would have kicked in, and I'd be super depressed if I couldn't keep up. But otherwise, like, I'd be into it.
All right, Val, you got any thoughts on it?
Actually, I've only recently started sort of thinking about this. It's like a lot of the comparables when this started was, like, for example, September 11th. There was a massive lag from when 9/11 happened to when sort of like travel and a lot of stuff got back to normal in the States anyway. And on this one, I kind of feel like as soon as, you know, green lights are given or someone has, you know, vaccine, like they're booking a vacation. They're getting the hell out of Dodge. I feel like things will explode immediately once it's okay. I mean, like Pete was saying, like the lid is barely on it and it's super dangerous to do things right now. So I feel like, whereas once I thought maybe a lot of this stuff wouldn't come back very quickly, I think I feel like society in general is just really craving public gatherings, seeing people, high-fiving, you know, whatever. And I think it will come back very fast and bigger than ever, because there's going to be not only new demand from like all these YouTubers you keep talking about, but also people who really want to get out there.
There's loads. There's the guy that played Magic, and I'm not talking about Magic Cup, Use Fly, that guy. There's another guy that played Magic.
Pleasant Kenobi.
Yeah, you like him, don't you, Pete? Yeah.
He's guy. Okay. I mean, he's very much you. You guys should just do a show together.
Really?
Oh, I think it'd be great. You're both Salty super bit. Sassy British. I love it. I'd be into it.
I'll message him. I imagine he'll never fucking reply.
He did Paul Murphy's show. I can't see why he wouldn't do yours.
Yeah,
but that's a whole different kettle of fish. Like, if Paul Murphy rings you, you fall in love immediately. Hello.
Dang it. He is the Paul Murphy.
He did the Nova Open Charity Foundation stream the other day, and I only tuned in for about 5 minutes, but it was really just to remark that I don't know, most people, like, I look like a fucking potato because of coronavirus now. Definitely that shape. Paul Murphy, no, he kept himself looking pristine the entire time. But fucking alabaster statue.
Big Paul Murphy. He is a China doll of 40K.
Yeah.
But he's got a voice. What was he saying? Have you guys seen Hell or the Highway, the film?
No, it sounds terrible.
It's an incredibly good movie. It's one of my favorite movies of the past decade. Really beautifully shot, but there's a really great scene in it where the brother, who is definitely like a fucking tearaway, points at, like, talks to a lady who's like on reception. He goes, "When you're in your deathbed, yeah, you want to think about the wild night you had with me," or something. He says something. It's a great line. It's better than that. I imagine that's what Paul says to literally everyone. Like, every place he is.
I see it.
Is this Hell on the Highway is what you said?
Yeah, Hell on the Highway, yeah.
I think it's just a
TV series?
No. Hell or the Highway. Hell or the Highway.
Oh, because I was going to say, this is just an Ice Road Truckers show. And
that's a great movie. That's also great.
Go ahead. But also, as we've remarked a few times on this show, even before 9th edition, which again I think would be more popular than 8th edition even was, tournaments were limited by their space already. There was no problem with demand. So, even if we come back and a lot of people don't want to go to events, they're still going to be sold out. Like, I mean, events were selling out in hours, you know, and even minor GTs and things in smaller cities were selling out, right? Yep. Whereas like when I first started following 40K, it was a grind to get 28 people in most places.
So can I ask a question? Because it's actually something I'm like less au fait with. Like, so the ITC format, like, and ITC in general, can you explain it to me as if you explain it to it, and therefore to the crowd, a new person? You're like, they're like, hey, I want to play competitive 40K. And then you would say,
yes.
Yeah. Hey, I want to play competitive. And then I would say, okay, cool. Like, I don't know. Why is this question so hard? Google, shut the hell up.
No. No.
That's a cute kitty, Pete. What's the name?
That's Violet.
Oh, you have a cat?
Yeah, I do.
Why not remember this?
She only shows up when Bronx is sleeping, so that's probably why.
Oh, yeah, when Bronx is a puppy, I remember that. Okay, I don't know why I gapped so hard on that. What is the purpose of your question, Robert?
So my question is, for people who are new at home, or for anyone else, and also for myself generally, yeah, is, like, for me to understand. So a conversation I was having with you guys was about what a 28-man event is, and I didn't know why the fuck a 28-man was important at all. Yeah, also like events selling out or anything else. Also the ITC being very American-centric, but obviously it happens in Australia and Europe and loads of other places as well, is generally seen as the structural way for 40K to occur competitively. So I wanted to ask about it and ask if it would be maybe reimagined or relooked at in a post-COVID world. I was trying to drag the donkeys to water.
An ITC game is really... ITC tournament's really easy to set up. You just message somebody and ask for a token. Like, you could just do it right on the FLG's website. And the token works for Best Coast Pairings, because that's how they do all of the like event tracking for FLG. So you get your token, you submit either an Excel spreadsheet or you use Best Coast Pairings to just upload your tournament as it happens. And then you just do a registry. People show up. Minimum 4 people for an RTT. 28 people for a GT, and this just works for how many points you get more than anything else. 28.
And those points are what? Sorry.
Well, let me.
You do it.
So the 28 people for a GT is based off of, like in a tournament bracket, a 32 player event at 5 rounds would always have a definitive winner. So they do that, and then they tagged on like a 10%. What if somebody left to make it 28? Given that most events have about a 10% dropout, and then a major is 58 players based off of the same thing for 64. If you had 64 players, then you'd have an even bracket. But if 10% of the people dropped out, 6 people, you'd be at 58. So that's how you get your quote unquote major status. These are all for points. You get points by attending events, just period. You get points. Winning games gives you points. Winning games in a specific in a row gives you points. If you win like 5 games in a row, you get more. And if you win 4, and there's like a whole formula that's hidden that you can't see that calculates this all for you, and that generates your ITC ranking. You have to have 5 results over the course of a year. To get 5, though, it's 3 RTT, 1 GT, and 1 major result minimum.
It went to 6 this year. Actually. Oh, okay. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah.
Yes. So then it would be probably 4 RTTs, a GT, and a major is required.
I don't know if they changed what the minimums look like, but yeah, they added a 6. It would probably be an extra GT or major, I would bet, rather than extra RTT.
So anyway, and that's it. You just get points that way. Anybody can make an ITC event as long as you meet their like minimum person requirement. You can't have it in your basement is really like the only thing they've said is like, just don't do it in your house.
It has to be publicly advertised. At least that's the way it used to be, because I have held an RTT in my house. But I didn't advertise it. And obviously only my friends came. But yes.
That's been it.
Okay. Spoon it. All right. The only reason I ask is because it's that different. I understood that like a major event or like a larger event, you generally is worth more points. However,
more people at your event is more points. Yeah.
Is more points, and I assume
the biggest thing now. the bigger thing now, that's Once Upon a Time was the big thing. The bigger thing now is actually rounds played, I think, has a bigger impact on the old scoring algorithm.
They both do.
People is a big multiplier. Yeah.
So, and that's because the assumption is to get to the end of like more rounds or a larger event, effectively you have to have played better and therefore it's worth more points.
Correct.
Okay, sweet. Sweet, sweet. Like, and then one of the things that happened at something like the LVO, and I assume the LVO was worth more points, right?
Yes, LVO has always been like the most points. They did change the formula last year because it was noted that LVO was getting so big that most other events didn't matter. Like if you attended four other events, really didn't matter which four, and then won the LVO, you probably won the quote-unquote ITC season because like you would just score so many points at LVO. So they had to change the formula to level it out earlier to avoid that. So LVO still scored more points, but it would maybe be like 15, 20 more points than the next biggest event, whereas before it was like 500.
Yeah, wow. That was when they changed they de-emphasized amount of players and emphasize more the amount of rounds. Because in theory, the more rounds you play, is winning more games is, generally speaking, going to be harder, even if there's 100 people there or 1,000 people there.
So if I hold let's say, a 100-person event, but I like organize it so that it happened over the same format of LVO, like six rounds and then a top eight, like that would be worth almost the same as what LVO would be worth.
With 100 people, it'd be in the ballpark. Did that ever happen, Pete? What was Nova compared to? Because Nova's 128, or did they get bigger? They got to 240. They got to 256.
They went up to 256, but they had like 220 or whatever, actually.
Yeah.
By the end of the day.
That would be the comparison.
I think it was like 30 or 40 points less. Like it seems significant, but it isn't. So.
Well, actually, Siegler won both. Let's go have a look. Yeah, I think what's interesting is since obviously we've had a good meaty season to be watching and interested in. Obviously, some interesting things have happened with Games Workshop HQ, and they've hired on a full-time global community dude. Mm-hmm. And there you go, 277 points for Nova and 311 points for LVO.
Yeah, so about 35 more points for almost triple the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's gives a little idea of the scale there. Whereas Once Upon a Time, that would have been like double the points at least.
Easily, yeah.
So there isn't a situation where I, being, let's say, Eurocentric, I go to, let's say I go to a dozen 40K events here in Europe. And then, let's say I win them all, like just for ease of fucking.
You're just
purpose.
The best, Rob. We get it. Yeah.
According to Tom, I'm not, and I'm terrible. So whatever. But the
Tom's opinion's very poor, so it's okay.
Yes. those top five results would be taken into account for my score as to whether or not I'd won the ITC for that year. However, my assumption would be that unless those events were the same size as Nova or LVO, I wouldn't be in with a shoe-in. Like, let's say I never went to any American events. There would be no way for me to win the ITC in that way.
You'd have to go pretty ham, and have like a significant lead in order to not go to the LVO and win. I mean, there tend to be, okay. So again, just for people, who for some reason think this is a huge conspiracy, which is propagated often on the Honest Wargamer, United States have over 300 million people. Am I right
about 400? Yeah, 350.
It's a big place, and they have very large event halls and places to run events. So they do run a f ton of events. I don't know percentage wise what it would be, but at this point, I mean, Pete has been tracking. Most events do run ITC, any big ones anyway. Majors, GTs, anywhere in the world. I know they maybe don't do the same format. But for the most part, everyone's doing ITC points at this point if it's a significant event. And in the UK and Europe more generally, which is this landmass near the United Kingdom across the channel.
Not for long. We're pushing ourselves away.
there's a proliferation of very large events, as I love to say all the time. Largest team event in the world is held in Spain.
It's actually France.
There's a bigger one in France?
Yeah, those guys are nuts.
How big is that?
I believe it was. It's like 1,100 people.
No shit.
The French agency bar community, by the way, are fucking hilarious.
1,000 points, Val. 1,000 points.
Yeah. The French agency bar community are fucking nuts. They literally hate everyone else. It's so funny. They have their own media. They do their own thing. And like sometimes they're like, oh, hello, Rob. Fuck you.
Suck a bit. It's the English language. It holds us back. But anyway, what I'm trying to say here is when the ITC was picking up steam and everyone hated on the ITC, and then they were like, oh, wait, we can just join. We can just do this too. And then they all started doing it. That was when it was hard to be in the UK and compete. Nowadays, like, there's so many events that, I mean, almost all, like, for a good chunk of last season, the ITC rankings were dudes from the UK. This year, it because the UK, I guess, continued playing a lot more, I think there's a number of UK players on the top 10 right now.
Early in the season, most of the top 10 were UK because they gotten a few more games than NA. It's kind of flipped now because the Midwest and South US were just like, whatever. We don't care if we die. If we die, we die. We have to play. So they got a rip ton of events through, right, in the last few months versus basically everybody else who stopped. So
my question is effectively like, and it's not loaded, I promise. Like it's not. It's just it seems to me that like without like I understand investing money, but it feels like I have to travel to America. And a lot of other people do as well. Like traveling from America to Las Vegas it's not the same as traveling from, let's say, Germany, France, or UK, whatever. Yep. But most people are still hopping on a flight, and it's still costing them money, and they're still doing those things. But it does feel like the rest of the world is disconnected from that level, from competing by happenstance. Like, it doesn't, like,
can you win the WTC without going to the WTC?
You can, but like everyone has to go there. Like, no, you can't. No, but everyone has to go by there. But that's not the same, right? I can track they allow everyone in Australia, let's say, to track their ITC points. And it's an ITC tournament and all of its ITC until it's like, can you win? It's like, no, go to America.
Well, and I think that's why they've added all these other like regional awards and best in faction stuff for people, right? So that you can be like best in Australia, best in the UK, best in Europe. Like those are all things that exist now because recent Frank, et cetera, acknowledged that it was almost impossible to win without traveling to the United States. And then that's why in addition, they added this formula to make it a little bit easier so that theoretically, if you did have a run like you're describing where you just dominated every single event and then it was a closer call here in the States or in North America, that yet you might potentially win. It's not impossible. Where it would have been before. It's still hard. I mean, like...
that's a great change-up, though. They should be, like, applauded for that. Like, that's excellent.
Like, if Val noted, I mean, the LVO, it does give you, like, 40 more points. And usually by the end of the season, the top 10, 15, 20 people are within 30 or 40 points of each other. Like, so it's almost a necessity, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. So,
okay. Yeah, I'm just going to, like... On top of that, though, it's like the LVO is essentially the world championships of 40K. Like when you're playing in the world championship, you got to go to wherever it is. And there's also, to be frank,
that's a one-off event. You turn up there, you win or you lose. This is I compete in my country of residence, let's say, four or five times. And as noted, I get six events, so I have to attend six. So I attend five in my country, and I have to earmark one of them to be America, maybe two. Like if my country doesn't necessarily have like a particularly large player base. Again, like it's got nothing to do with I think anyone making any intent it to be like that. Someone in the chat a moment ago was talking about Italy. I think it's drinking the wolf chaos. Drink the wolf in chaos. He was just like, Italy's so far behind. There's no events. I hate it. Like, and I'm like, bless him. Like that must be really hard because I'm sure he would like to compete at all these sorts of events.
For sure.
Organize the scene, man. Like, I mean, that none of this stuff happened like without effort. Like in Canada, like I know when I started paying attention to this stuff, there were none. I would literally call random shops holding small tournaments, and be like, hey, you guys gonna use ITC points? And they're like, no, we're not going to use that. It's stupid. And I was like, well, actually, you don't even have to use their format. You just have to submit the score. And then they'd be like, oh, okay. I didn't even go to the events. I just like made everyone use ITC points or asked them to, and they started to. And then now we've got a pretty robust scene, and like people love ITC events, and there are like growing GTs that happen with alarming frequency right around my house all the time. But that's because a lot of people have like taken up the banner of like organizing large tournaments, which are a pain in the ass to do, but really rewarding and super fun. And that stuff develops over time. So if you find yourself in an area that like doesn't have events, maybe the finger's pointing to you to like do something about it.
And we're seeing a lot of development for mini ITCs, like within the ITC, because ITC doesn't require almost anything in terms of what you do. So you're seeing like the Lord Marshall Conference and these other events sparking up where they're just like, hey, we know that a lot of you guys aren't going to have a chance to win the whole thing because you can't attend X amount of events in a year.
Yep.
But if you come to three or four of our events that we're going to run, then you might win ours, which is, you know, a little bit smaller, but it's still like a regional thing. And then if
actually,
you look at,
and you get a lot more in those regional things, you get a lot more, I don't know, interesting competition because all the guys know each other and it's just a lot of fun. The Australians do that.
There's the guys who play Age of Sigmar in Texas. I had them on the show actually. Don't worry, they're all good. They're like we've talked offline. They're the good ones. They have intercity championships. Are just really, really fun, where they like take the flag. There's like there's all sorts. They have a map, and they run their season between all their cities and their teams. Sounds really, really, really fun. It was awesome, like having them on the show talking about it. I really enjoyed it. Which flag? Their city's flag, Nick. How dare you? The flag of Mexico.
In Europe, you've got the Alliance Open guys, which are now running, well, if it wasn't for COVID, they'd have run like four or five almost super majors. So there are events now pretty much anywhere you want to go, and you'll get a lot of points and have that competition. So
it was just interesting for me because I didn't really know about like the 28 man cap and that sort of stuff. And I'm not, again, none of the questions were meant like in a leading way. I was just, I was more just like generally interested in, like, will I?
On this show. I would never expect that out of you, Rob.
Thanks. I was like, if I wanted to compete, let's say next year, because the ITC season also ends at LVO and begins at LVO, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So then I would, if I wanted next year, let's say COVID being gone, I wanted to play high level competitive 40K, and I wanted that to be a goal of mine, let's say, if not like to win, at least to position well, I must like make sure I tried to schedule in six major events and try and maybe get two of those to be US-based events.
Yeah, it's not easy to do. Although, like I said, while the LVO is probably something that is a must do, if you're serious about winning the ITC, you can probably win your country. You can definitely win your country without having to go to the LVO.
Unless your country's the United States,
The United States, in which case you have massive regions that you can win. Is like the United States is divided up into four or five regions. Anyway, most other countries are not. In fact, all other countries are not. But anyway, if you want to win the whole thing, you got to go to the big show. And increasingly, you probably don't have to go to Nova or Adepticon, but you probably would need to find an equivalent, which would probably be the London GT. There's
or
a number of
Hanseatic Open, Alliance Open.
Yep.
Any of those big, like 100 plus events. The Dallas GT, which is like 300 people now. Like there's places to go.
Okay, that's so exciting. Thanks. I really wanted to know how like structured. No one's ever like taken me step by step through it with like that kind of explanation. So I think that's useful for everyone to know generally when it opens up. And do you think that any of that structure needs to change post COVID, or do you think it's pretty like it's good where it is?
Well, that was something I was a little bit alluding to, which is GW has like added a lot of positions that certainly seem to suggest that they're taking a greater interest in organized play. So we don't know if that means tournaments or what, but certainly organized play. They've hired, or at least they had a posting for in the United States, a North American TO is what they called it. Yep. Who knows what that guy's supposed to be doing? Obviously, we have the famous Mike Brandt, the community manager, and but he's responsible for global events. And he, when he was hired, they had two or three full-time staffers came on with him. So they put a lot of, like, if you consider the ITC is two people running it as like a hobby on the side. Like GW now has five full-time employees that I just rattled off that could potentially be involved in organized play.
And there was like a world event organizer on top of this that was recently announced. We've seen people being reached out to in like China and Japan as like, hey, who runs all your events? Or so we're starting to see this kind of reach out, this outreach. I think, and Val and I have talked about this often, it would be super great if we did have some kind of like larger authority that isn't just, you know, two guys that run their own business on the side handling it, just to clear up any of the stupid drama so that there's like a firm, like, hey, this is what happens, without having two guys that are doing something completely different, having to try to manage that while also trying to stay a step away. Cause that's always been the ITC thing, right? Was like, we're just like a thing. We're not a body. We don't, we don't do sanctions really.
Yeah, the two guys who run it are also of the libertarian persuasion. So definitely don't tread on me philosophy in the ITC, which is, which is actually why I've always been so like outspoken against like ITC critics, is like literally their founding philosophy is they don't mess with you. You just have to tell them that you ran an event, and everyone's like, they're trying to change the game, man. It's like, no, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything they say. They, in fact, tell you not to do what they say. So anyway, and that's besides the point.
And you see it all the time. Like, you see people, like, people be like, hey, could we maybe do this? And immediately there'll be like eight TOs. They'll be like, no, we are not allowed. You can't control me. And they get like really upset. Even if it's like basic decency stuff too, they'll be like, no, we will not give people water.
Someone wants to take their dick out in a game, they can do that.
Just do it. Yeah, you can't control us. So like, that's just how the ITC is, right? It's basically you just call them up and be like, I'd like to run an event. And they say, okay.
So just, I will just throw my 5 cents in. I would say just very quickly that Games Workshop creating their own like tournament thing is something I'm less interested in more than anything else. I don't believe in their ability to quality control. They don't do that with their products other than the miniatures. They don't do it with their books, their games, their supply chain. They don't do it with their app. They don't do it in presentation. Like, they are an awful company, but in relating to their customer base, apart from getting money,
come on.
Nope, that's it. Like, those
they
are the
facts.
They can
do better at all of those things. Yes, I agree. But also,
they do it terribly.
Pete and I wake up very, very early to talk about their stuff all the time, so it can't be that bad, Rob.
Well, I think big shout out to LLV in the chat, by the way, my other stats brother. Big love. It's nice to see him. I haven't seen him in a while. They just don't interact well. They don't have good leadership. They aren't able to communicate with people well. They lie. They obfuscate.
The guy running this part of it is okay. Like Brandt, and like obviously Pete and I have disagreed with some of the decisions that Nova has made over the years. But so have a lot of people. A lot of people love those things. Brandt was the, you know, leading guy from Nova, one of the largest and most successful, longest running, like competitive focused tournaments. It didn't really ever transition to like a convention style thing. It's always been a tournament. And that's the guy running the global events scene now. As he's not some guy who forges the narrative hard in his basement. He's a person who is instrumental in creating a global tournament scene for 40K. And he's the guy running their events now. So I have a little bit of faith that at the very least, that person's got some vision about what could be cool about GW taking a bigger role in competitive events. The question is, how big of a role? I happen to be of the opinion, and by the way, this is an opinion because I don't have an NDA, so I only speak in riddles with like half the people I know. But anyway,
it's true. It's really fun.
It is like literally the most. It's like you get more information when they announce a new pope than I do from a lot of the people I know. Anyway,
yeah. Just red like, smoke, blue smoke, and you're like, okay, I don't know.
Grease
like vapes in your face after you ask him a question. She's like, okay, I guess that's it.
What does it mean? Maybe there's squats are back? I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, and that's legit. So my theory is I don't see why Games Workshop would do something like, and a lot of people think this, take over the ITC. Because of
it's not my suggestion. I just think
this is scuttlebutt out there. And I think not only because maybe incompetence is a thing, but also just like people are doing this shit for free right now. Like to me, like why would you take risk on and like and threaten tipping the boat and run these events when people are doing it out of their own passion for the hobby? I suspect that there's going to be something more. I don't know if there's going to be like an official circuit or anything like that. I feel like GW is just going to take a more active hand in supporting events. That is my guess. That to me is what would make sense. So maybe this is a good moment, Rob, for you, because I'm saying something that I think would make sense would be that they just encourage the tournament scene more. We'll see if they do more than that. Perhaps you're right about everything you just said. I don't know.
I didn't finish my point. It was just I prefixed it with those are my thoughts quickly on they suck. And then the follow up being like, what's really really fun for me is that the tournament scene and generally the tournament community is getting so professional, right? ITC battle apps, you know, DP, DCP, PCP are joining up to make that stuff better. Like generally, like that conversation, you guys with the Stats Center, I think the community is already doing an excellent job of making like a professional sport esque style tournament environment, which I'm really enjoying. ITC, like, and the evolution of the ITC that you've just talked about, like changing up how it's scored so that maybe, you know, you'll end up with different like non-American centric like winners at some point or something like that. So all of that's just really positive stuff. I just don't really see what the inclusion of the company can bring other than like, you know, a Machiavellian hand into what is like because also I don't know how they can draw that line unless they get super involved. If they're like, this is broken, and you're like, they respond to it on the fly. They're like, yeah, we fucking got this, lads. Don't worry, we got your back. If they're there, then I'm on board with that. But if they're not, and they're like, you know, they do what they do with their community posts where they just lie and obfuscate, that's not a positive step for the community. That's a backward step because the community are really like upfront about it, right? And they'll say how they feel. But whatever. Like, whatever. I'm looking forward to events no matter what and rolling some chuffing dice. That's it.
Chuffing dice.
Yeah.
Pete, any thoughts on any of that?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, fine then.
And Apes Together Strong is another great. And I'll tell you what.
I think so. Here's something that I would like to see. I think regardless of what happens with the ITC is, I would love, and this is actually the more GW gets involved, the less likely I see this being a thing. But I would love to see an actual sanctioning body. So I'd like to see. Sure. Basically, all I want to see is like, I do. I know of the NAF. I just don't actually know. Like, I don't know. Like how heavily it's structured. Mm-hmm. But right now, like to be a sanctioned ITC event, you have to advertise it publicly. You have to hit a certain number of people, and you have to ask Reese and Frankie for a token, and you have to have an ITC logo on your event somewhere. That's literally all it is. I would love to see a sanctioned event requiring things like code of conduct being enforced. You know, lists need to be posted in a specific format. Like, some of the most basic stuff is all I would love. Is it, like, we could take, like, you know, the like, quality of events to, like, a much higher level with the most minimal of standards. And that just seems to be something that the TO community reacts violently against every time it's posited, often by me. and I don't know why, what's so offensive about this idea of adopting like reasonable standards of etiquette and, you know, quality of events and all that in exchange for ITC points. Because you'd avoid a lot of the silly bullshit if you had minimum standards and expectations. So that's what I'd love to see regardless.
Okay. All right. Sweet. All right. Well, let's get going because Pete needs some sleepy pops. And you don't sound great, baby. You should get some sleep. Get some honey.
He's just recovering.
Just recovering, man. This has been like basically ever since the last adjacent show, I've been dead. So.
Oh. Uh-huh. Sorry, dude. Yeah.
It's okay. It wasn't your fault.
Yeah. Fortnite events also create better data. I agree with LLV as well.
Yep.
A lot less special snowflakes in the world, creating all sorts of, like, whatever events, which would also mean terrain maps. Give me them terrain maps, baby. Anyway.
WTC ones are cool. I mean, Pete showed me, started showing me them in TTS. By the way, Robbo, we got a
game
TTS
tomorrow, baby.
Yep. What's happening? We're going to stream it somewhere?
Yeah, we could do that. I'll put something up.
Well, maybe after the show, we can talk about what we want to do matchup-wise, because I know what I'll bring if well, I'll just bring the Stompa. Yeah,
perfect.
It's gonna be a custom Stompa, so get ready for that.
Okay. All right. Well, I might just bring the Orc on Orc.
Pete dummied me with my custom Stompa, so.
Oh, wait, did you guys finish your game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, how did those incentives come down?
Turn three, he shook the hand. Oof. So.
Oof. How did those incentives do?
They did fine. They did what they were supposed to do, which was get Val to shoot them instead of my Sanguinary Guard right in front of them. And then three Sanguinary Guard did 20 wounds to the Stompa, and Val was like, okay, I'm done. I hadn't even killed it yet. And he was like,
oh. Well. You did 20 wounds to the Stompa on my turn because you heroically intervened into him, and I went, well, that was stupid of me, and repeatedly that you could do that. So
I kept saying, and I was like, these guys can heroically intervene, and you'd be like, so which guys should I shoot? I like, well, these guys can heroically intervene. These guys like have more wounds. They'll do basically the same damage, so I mean, they're probably an issue. And then he's like, I'm going to shoot your Inceptors, and I was like, okay.
Cool. And there was a fleeting moment in my head where I thought, yeah, I should back that Stompa up a few inches just so I don't get, and then I don't know, like someone jingled their car keys and I forgot. But that's 40k for you. And I think we had a fun game and I learned some things.
I had a lot of fun.
Good. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. We might stream a game tomorrow. We're also streaming a game of 40k on the Thursday show. Some guys from the Scottish TTS League are playing, and me and Tom and Nick are going to be doing some commentary on that as well. We did that at the weekend, which was super fun, and we might do that a little bit more in the future, just mainly to get our eye in on the game, so when we can host events here at the TSN Arena, we could just like go straight into them with commentary, and it's like, and we're a little bit more practiced as soon as we get into it, so that'll be fun.
Well, it'll be good for Nick to see a game of 40k. I mean, it might blow his mind a little bit, but hopefully he'll be able to handle it.
Nick,
yeah.
Have you two decided that Nick is your new punching bag and not Tom?
I mean, why not? Why not both? But
just change
time,
it up
maybe.
A little bit, you know.
It's
like,
a war. Oh, okay.
You gotta go to the body a little bit, and then you go for the head, and you just go to the body. You just gotta work it in. You just gotta work it around. Okay, the rival shows,
right? All right, I'm the lead.
At least our content is good, so that's that. We got that.
Whoops.
Our content's great. How dare you? How dare you, Pete? Yeah. Right.
I mean, our content is great.
Our content is great.
I love the content.
Our content's great. Your content, on the other hand.
Oh, my God. Right. Hello. Thanks, everyone, for listening to The Honest War Gamer.
I like Rob just looped himself there. We almost started the show again.
Yeah.
Not like this.
I'm going to go. We're going to go. Everyone have a great day. Thanks, Val and Pete, for being on the show.
Thank you, as always, man. This is the highlight of my week every week. Thanks to the chat. Apparently, there's people out there watching us, and we appreciate that very much.
A load of dudes.
Val does, at least.
Yeah. it's been a pleasure having you both on. We'll talk to everyone soon. Look after yourselves. Thanks, Patreon podcast. Everyone, look after yourselves. Stay healthy. Fuck you, buddies. Have a great day.